The toy bar is open. Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and Toy Bar Flies Jason Duvall and Dave Draper discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys! This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Gentlemen, welcome to an all-new Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com. Brought to you by the Crazy Kings of Toys, www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Welcome, my co-host, Dave Draper.
Hey!
Dave Draper. Hi, Dave Draper.
Hi, Jason Duvall.
How are you, sir?
I'm actually fairly well.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Which is a pleasant surprise, pleasant change of...
I am glad that you are...
Yeah, I was sick this weekend.
Yeah.
And it got really, really bad. I had a cold, but it was like... A little different than my usual cold. It just basically all concentrated in my sinuses.
Right.
Really badly, like very, very painfully.
Well, yeah, you were saying...
I felt like I half expected to hear like this wet pop and like just have blood and snot shoot across the room. I mean, it was awful.
Icky.
I assume we're going to talk about Toy Man?
Yeah.
The drive home from Toy Man was just bad. I was in pain. I mean, really seriously, in pain. Like, I even stopped and I got, like, gas and I got Halls.
Right.
Because Halls usually clears up my sinuses.
No.
They were, like, the goggles. They did nothing.
God, that's
it was bad. I was scared. I was like, oh, God, how badly screwed up is this?
Plus, you had to drive home in torrential downpour.
That was the other thing, is I had to drive down there and back in a torrential downpour in my new car.
Yeah, which you hadn't actually road tested, really.
I had not road tested the new car very much. I basically took it home and, like, I think I've done a couple of, like, minor... drives out to like the grocery store, but
right.
It's my first big drive in the new car, and then I have new glasses that are bifocals, which allow me to both see and read at the same time.
Right.
So I was wearing those, so it was probably not the ideal field test conditions for all my new stuff.
True.
Because I drive down in this pouring rain, and then I'm wandering around, you know, and I get a little distracted at a toy show environment anyway.
Right.
But it's like my vision's kind of weird, so I'm kind of wandering around like I'm stoned, bumping into things.
Oh, good time.
It's a hoot.
Dave. Yeah, it's a hoot nanny.
It's a hoot nanny.
Oh, man, what a week.
What a week.
We came into this week with some interesting... Well, I guess we should say, for all of the yous out there that follow... Catholicism and the Roman Church. We have a new pope.
We have a new pope.
There's white smoke.
Yeah. I think he's of Italian descent, but he's from South America.
Venezuela.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. He's not a Hitler youth, and he doesn't look like Emperor Palpatine.
This is both very true.
So I think they've traded up.
Oh my gosh. I was watching that at work today. I was watching CNN on my phone because I'm like I'm not a religious man, but I was like. I want to see what happens. There's a new pope.
And it's kind of interesting because popes haven't retired since like the 14th century or something.
Yeah. Benedict was the first one to be like, "I'm out, people, peace out." He's like, "I got to the home in the south of the beach. I got to go.
I don't want to be thrown down the reactor shaft by Lord Vader, so I'm retiring. An entire legion of my cardinals will pick my successor."
Benedict, where are you going with most of the things out of the Sistine Chapel?
Don't ask questions.
Oh, yay.
Yay. So.
Yay. More points for us to burn in hell. Fun times.
Oh, like I was going anywhere else.
I know. We had some cool toy news this week. NECA and WizKids announced they're doing a Star Trek Attack Wing HeroClix board game.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Looks like they're going to incorporate pretty much the entire, because the picture here is the USS Enterprise with Captain Picard.
Yeah, it looks like Enterprise D.
Yeah, not sure. Like it's HeroClix, but I'm not sure how it's. I don't know. I'm not sure how it's going to work.
I don't know. You know, they've done so many little miniature kind of games like this for Star Trek, though. I mean, because it lends itself to it.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, the Star Trek games that I have, like the role-playing game has a whole aspect of that. That's what we never actually played the role playing game back in high school. We played the space combat game,
right?
You know,
right?
And those, I mean, those didn't have schmancy pants,
little
they had little cardboard pieces, but yeah. I mean, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah. I don't know. WizKids is doing a lot of stuff these days. I mean, they're really.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
You know, they're really, really. They keep throwing stuff out there, and it's like, yeah, WizKids.
I guess I'm surprised because you always go into like these places, and even toy shows, and there's like dump bins full of HeroClix.
Oh yeah, no.
But they still keep cranking them out, oh, yeah. So they must be selling pretty well.
They sell every time they sell. We saw the first couple of these from Toy Fair. And I believe it was Harley Quinn and Cyborg.
Yeah, the new 52 Harley and Cyborg.
Yeah, so the DC, I guess they're DC Collectibles now.
Yes.
I keep wanting to say DC Direct, but that's...
No, it's, I think it is DC Collectibles.
Yeah, it's DC Collectibles. They're doing a new 3/4-inch series of figures based on...
the video game Injustice.
Yep, the Injustice line. So we got our looks at Aquaman versus Black Adam Injustice figures. The Nightwing versus Superman 2-pack.
Yep.
And Flash, and they haven't revealed who the Flash's 2-pack is. But I'm glad that, you know, DC fans are finally getting a comparable 3-pack.
There's also
a
Wonder Woman and Solomon Grundy, too.
Oh, yeah, Wonder Woman, Solomon Grundy. I'm just glad that DC fans are getting a line comparable to Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Because the old DC 3/4-inch scale
were terrible.
Mattel were awful.
And these look better. I mean, the sculpting is very detailed.
Oh, yeah, no, the sculpting is amazing.
And it looks like there's a decent amount of articulation. I just, you know, I wish it hadn't come from this very specific...
Video game.
And there's a comic, too, but it's a very specific... Like, Wonder Woman has a very specific design look.
Yeah.
You know, Superman does. Aquaman does. They don't look like the classic versions, or even the new 52 versions.
Yeah, Solomon Grundy's a very like punkish.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, you know, like you said, it's sad, but I'm hoping. I guess it depends on what the licensing situation is between Mattel and between DC and DC Collectibles and DC. It's like, what are the licensing? What can they and can't they produce in a 3/4-inch scale?
Well, now, this is interesting because one of the other stories we're going to talk about is the C2E2. I assume we're going to talk about the C2E2.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of the same thing. Guy Gardner and Lars Feliz.
Yeah.
3 3/4-inch figures. And those are basically your standard comic book versions.
Right, those are, yeah.
I mean, they are con exclusives, but... And, you know, I can't imagine that if DC wanted to produce normal versions... of these characters that Mattel would really... Because Mattel's not making... Mattel's not doing its own version of a Marvel Universe line.
No, but...
Mattel's barely doing anything for, like, Batman or Superman.
Yeah, I agree. I guess, it's like you said, it'd be nice to see more of the... I mean, they had some problems with these 3 3/4-inch scale figures when they first started doing them a couple years ago as con exclusives.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of when the first one was. Was it actually San Diego?
I think it was San Diego.
I know they had problems with, you know, legs breaking and arms snapping off in the package and, you know, just learning curves, basically, because they had never done a 3/4-inch scale figure line before. So,
yeah,
you know, they I think they've learned from those mistakes, and now that they're doing these lines, they look much better. They look like they'll hold up much better. You know, it's sad that the Green Lantern one is still continuing through convention exclusives, because that's what they've been doing all these Green Lantern 2-packs is you can only get them at the conventions that they're going to this last year and this year. So
yeah.
That kind of sucks for Green Lantern fans, because then you either have to go to the conventions or you have to fight somebody on eBay for one. Or hope that, you know, somebody like an online retailer is able to grab up a bunch of them and put them up for a little bit higher than cost and, you know, not pay a ton of money for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know what the demand is for those, like whether it's high or low. So.
I couldn't tell you.
I don't know.
I know that...
Just because it's a con exclusive doesn't always mean it holds its value for very long.
Right. I agree. They look good, though.
Yeah, they look nice.
I guess we should continue on with DC stuff. Target announced they're doing an exclusive line of new 52-style figures based on the old Justice League figure models. So those little... squat figures.
Oh, yeah.
So people...
No, wait. Those aren't... No. Ah-ha-ha. That's what you get for not reading through properly.
JLU-style new 52.
They're not JLU-style, though. They're more like... the Brave and the Bold figures, but without the without the little circular ports to stick accessories in. Those are not JLU style.
Because they've got...
Because I have, as you know, I have an extensive JLU collection.
Yeah.
Like, if you just look at the bodies, you can tell, because they've got, like, thick legs.
Yeah. They've got articulation at the elbows.
Well, some JLU figures had those, not for very long, but you can just tell it's not the same style. Like, the facial sculpts are not, you know, Denny Tim style.
Right.
It's pretty obvious if you knew. And there's a Hal Jordan that right there tells you that it's not JLU.
Right.
Because apparently he will never, ever, aside from the one that they did that got him in trouble, and then the one where he's in like a flight suit and he had a swappable head, so
yeah,
put him on, but he didn't have the mask. Yeah, they can't ever do Hal Jordan as a Green Lantern.
Why is that?
Because they did, Mattel did something like in company as like a Christmas present or something for employees. They did a Hal Jordan figure, and somehow they didn't have the rights to do that. And Mattel got really, DC got really, got their panties in a bunch about it for some reason. Because I guess maybe one or two leaked out on eBay.
Yeah.
And they basically said that you can never do Hal Jordan. You can never do Hal Jordan as a Green Lantern.
Wow.
Because that was that whole thing. There was a Comic-Con, I think it was the year you went, but I didn't. They had a three-pack, and Jordan, they had two Green Lanterns. And then there was Jordan, and Jordan was in a flight suit.
Right.
And he didn't have the mask. But the trick was the heads were swappable.
Right.
So you could put his head on a Green Lantern body, so he, you know.
Right.
It was one of those things that was like a wink and a nod, but they couldn't actually do him as a Green Lantern. but he didn't have the mask. So people were like, well, it's not really Hal Jordan as Green Lantern.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason Mattel cannot do... Is not allowed. Mattel was like, well, since you made this figure without our permission, we will never give you permission to do that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's weird, but or DC said that.
I mean, unfortunately, those figures, now that, you know, you point out.
Now that you actually looked at them.
Yeah, now that they are Brave and the Bold.
Instead of just reading the headline.
Well, yeah.
Lazy.
Not lazy. It's the first time I've had a chance to look at it.
Lazy.
The Brave and the Bold style figures. I've never really liked those figures.
Never. I love the show. I love the show so much. If they would do. They'd done like DC Universe Classics, Brave and the Bold figures.
Right.
I would have bought them all.
Well, and you think the Brave and the Bold figures, they for some reason they geared them towards
younger
children.
Well, they were for kids. It was a kids line.
That because they had those pop and play.
Yeah.
Which were stupid. Yeah. Those only work on Centurions, damn it.
Yeah, well.
Keep them off my Batmans.
My Batmans.
NECA surprised us with the release of pictures of their upcoming pair of Xenomorph Warriors from... The Alien comic book series from Alien Genocide.
Yep.
30 points of articulation. My God, nine inches tall.
Yeah, I think those are based on, because they're doing an Aliens line from the movie, and I think those are basically just recolors of the Xenomorph from that, because I think that one's more greenish. But it had 30 points of articulation.
Which is crazy.
Yeah. I just wish it wasn't 7 inches. I wish it was 3 3/4.
Well, I know.
But yeah, they're cool. There's a black one and a red one, and... as we were talking before we went on air,
right?
I'm somewhat familiar with this comic. I may even own it.
Dave Cameron.
Honestly, you know, at a certain point, I kind of started to lose interest. But I know the story. The story is basically that a queen gets killed off, and so there are two rival hives get formed. Two new queens form, which isn't supposed to normally happen in their whole life cycle. All this, by the way, keep in mind, is 2 decades before Prometheus.
Right.
So this basically follows from the second movie where they were more insect-like. And so the two hives become rivals and fight each other. And I'm pretty sure there were stupid human characters in between that had to, like, you know, avoid being killed by both sides. But it was sort of like, you know, Aliens versus Predator, but it was Aliens versus Aliens. So there's a red one and a black one because they went with the whole ant analogy. So there's a red ant and a black ant. There's a red alien and a black alien.
Right.
Although, as you point out, the red alien is very brightly candy-colored. Very bright.
It's very brightly.
It's very brightly candy-colored.
Very much.
Jolly candy-like alien.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, NECA's been doing some amazing products. And
yeah, we actually, spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Toy Man in a little bit, but I actually saw some of their, one dealer had a couple of the upcoming Prometheus figures. Like, I think it was David in the spacesuit and the little thing that bursts out of the engineer at the end.
Oh, yeah.
They call it the Deacon.
Yeah.
I actually saw those at Toy Man.
Just for your information, after we get a recording, you probably want to go to Toys R Us because they're on the shelf over there right
now. Are
they? Yeah.
Okay. they must have come in. Either we got a truck early this week or they didn't put it out last week.
Well, when I was in there last night, I went into Toys R Us after I got off work. And when I was in there looking, they were still working the truck. And I was like, oh, I'll come back tomorrow because I'm like, there are boxes everywhere at like 5:30 at night. I'm
okay,
like, Jesus
well,
Christ.
They're early this week.
Yeah. I just saw them and I was like, oh.
Yeah, see, that's why I didn't buy them because I figured Toys R Us would get them in.
Yeah. They look nice. The Deacon figure looks kind of cool.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky looking little character.
Creepy looking half human alien thingamajigger.
Well, you've seen Prometheus, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, but I know what it is. I'm kind of sort of.
Yeah, that's the one that. You've seen the other thing at Toys R Us, the alien, the dude, and the giant
fighting
facehugger.
The giant tentacle thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it gets him in the end, and the Deacon is the thing that like. It's not just a chest burster, it's like his whole torso splits open and it comes out of him at the end.
Oh.
Yeah.
Neat. Neat.
So that's like the birth of the alien.
Oh. I need to watch that one of these days.
Someday. It's okay.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. It's actually pretty good, but like it irritates me that every question raised by the movie is not answered by the movie.
Well, of course not.
In fact, they literally go, "Hey, let's go somewhere and find answers." It's like, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
It's one thing when a movie is lazy or there are rewrites, so questions get asked and then they're kind of like ignored or forgotten or, you know.
Right.
You know, whatever. It's another thing to go, oh, hey, by the way, what's the deal with this? I don't know. Let's go find out.
Yeah.
Screw you.
Good way to do that, Ridley Scott.
Yeah,
way to go.
That irritated me.
Yeah. Well, you've got some conventions coming up here.
Yes, I do.
You're going to JoeCon.
Entirely too many.
You're going to JoeCon next
month. I'm going to JoeCon at the beginning of next month.
Right.
Yep.
And then we hit C2E2 at the pretty much the end of next month, really.
Yep.
Not only bring this up because you're going to C2E2, you'll be there with your girlfriend.
Yep.
I'll be there. And I thought it was interesting the other day. I was looking through their guests, their upcoming entertainment guests, and of course we get Adam West, who's gonna be there all 3 days. We get Ashley Eckstein, who's what's her face on Star Wars or Clone Wars? The chick.
Oh, Ahsoka.
Yeah, Ahsoka. Thank
she God. Was.
What's her name? She's going to be there all 3 days. Brian Posehn, who the stand-up comedian,
yeah,
who's on
yeah,
the Sarah
yeah.
Silverman Show, a very popular character actor. He's going to be there on Saturday. Bruce Boxleitner from
Tron. Oh,
wow. He's going to be there all 3 days.
And Babylon 5.
Burt Ward's going to be there all 3 days.
Robin!
Saturday and Sunday, Chandler Riggs is going to be there. He plays Carl in The Walking Dead.
Okay. Oh wow. Yeah.
David Bailey, who played one of the mute pirate with the parrot in Pirates of the Caribbean and all in the movies he showed up in.
Holy crap. Yeah. R.L. Stine's going to be there.
Yeah, R.L. Stine's going to be there. Felicia Day from the Guild, Julie Newmar. Your favorite Catwoman.
I know.
Kevin McNally, who played Gibbs from the Pirates movies. Kevin Smith on Saturday, Laurie Holden from The Walking Dead will be there all 3 days. Lee Ehrenberg from Pirates, who played, I want to say his character's name was Pentel.
There's a character named Pentel.
Yeah, I want to say that was him. Martin Kleba, who played the little dwarf pirate from Pirates. Mike Druckler, who's one of the guys from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Mike Kaplan, who's a stand-up comedian, very well known. Peter Davison, who's Doctor Who.
Yeah.
The Sixth Doctor.
Sure, why not?
I think, right?
It's one of... Wait, I think Davidson is the fifth.
Is he the fifth?
Oh, God.
He's the one with the broccoli in his coat.
He's the fifth.
Yeah. Ryan Buell, who's from Paranormal State, will be there Saturday and Sunday. And then the one that I thought was pretty cool was Jordan Himbrough is going to be there on Saturday.
Yeah, I know. Excited about that.
I was like, Jordan Himbrough! Which is funny because we've talked about Jordan a lot, and I still, to this day, have never met the man face-to-face. We've talked plenty on the phone. Never got to meet him because just have never been where he's going to be. And now that this is here and that's the day I'm going to be there, I'm like, oh, awesome. How very cool is that? Which reminds me, Toy Hunter starts back up April 10th, I believe, on the Travel Channel. It's something for people to look forward to. And then, of course, the special guests are Diamond Dallas Page and J.J. Sedmeyer from Saturday Night Live and Funhouse Cartoons, Jake the Snake Roberts. I'm not sure who Trevor Crafts is from Lantern City, so I'm not sure who that is. But yeah, R.L. Stine's going to be there, which is...
I know. He's a little after my time, but I was actually working at Walden Books, like right at the rise of his kind of... So, I mean, that's... If you're a child of the 90s, That's got to be huge.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. One of the featured literary guests is going to is Amber Benson, who was in the Buffy for a while. She was
wasn't she Dawn?
No. Amber
She was the girlfriend, right?
She was Willow's girlfriend.
Yeah.
God, what's her name?
Tara?
Tara, yeah. Tara. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, R.L. Stine, I was like, wow, R.L. Stine.
Yeah.
I was like, how friggin' neat is that?
Personally, it's kind of like, eh, but I mean, I can see where people would be really excited about that.
Yeah, I mean, C2E2 is getting a hell of a lot bigger as it goes on every year because the comic...
Forgot. It's only like 4 years old, dude.
I know. The comic guests are huge. Alex Ross, Brian Azzarello, Eric Powell, Ethan Van Shriver, J. Michael Stravinsky, Kieron Gillen, Michael Golden, Paul Cornell, Rick Remender, Tony S. Daniels.
Humberto Ramos.
Yeah, let's see. Amy Reeder, who's on Batwoman right now. Brian Hurt, Brian Wood. Just tons of like amazing guests. I'm actually kind of surprised that Walking Dead creator's not on here.
Kirkman?
Yeah, I'm surprised Kirkman's not there. J. Scott Campbell's going to be there. Humberto Ramos.
Yes.
I always say his name wrong. Humberto Ramos. Jimmy Palamody. God, I mean, just like tops of the comic industry. And see, it's almost like, you know, C2E2 is quickly turning into the Midwest San Diego Comic Con. I mean, it's just the guest list that keeps growing.
Well, wasn't that the plan?
Well, I don't know if that was their plan or not, because, I mean, Chicago's always been a good city for comic book conventions, because we had the Chicago Con for the longest time before Wizard World bought it out and turned it into Autograph Con.
Yeah.
And, you know, now we get, C2E2, and it's you know, becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. So, I mean, there's a lot going on at C2E2 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of special things, like they're doing a Hunger Games costume exhibition. So 200 plus the costumes will be there.
Is it Hunger Games or is it Catching Fire? Because they're filming that.
It's Hunger Games.
Huh.
That's going to be there. Of course, got an evening with Kevin Smith on Saturday evening.
You going to that?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no.
No. Costume contest. You've got gaming. C2E2's got a charity art auction. They've got a section for kids. They've got the IGN theater. They've got speed dating. I don't know. Vintage toys and pop culture exhibit and auction. Which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
Which is brought to you as by Black Sparrow Auctions, who actually just followed me on Twitter. I was wondering who that was. Exhibit will feature one of the largest collections of original Kenner Star Wars action figures, all graded by AFA. Exhibit will feature original artwork used for vintage coloring books and jigsaw puzzles, showcasing the Pink Panther, Bugs Bunny, Johnny Quest, the Flintstones, Masters of the Universe, and Popeye. Original mint condition inbox Star Trek action figures from the 60s, Silver Age CGC, graded comics such as Amazing Spider-Man 1 and Fantastic Four 1, and more. The highlight for this exhibit and the auction is an exceptional rare 1978 Kenner hand-painted hard copy prototype 15-inch scale figure of Darth Vader.
Hmm.
And then on Sunday, April 28th, you will have the chance to take home a piece of history when C2E2 hosts the auction. The live auction will take place from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It will include pieces seen in the exhibit as well as pieces that were not displayed. And, of course, you'll have to see the exhibit for more. But that's going to be a neat thing for anyone going Sunday. I mean,
yeah.
Even if you don't go to that, to knowing that you're not going to be able to afford anything, for one, because if it's all graded stuff, might as well forget that.
Yeah.
But those auctions are fun to go to and sit in because you get to see what some of this stuff sells for. I know we got to sit in the first year I went to San Diego Comic-Con was the year that they had the big toy auction there. It was off-site. It was the same weekend as Comic-Con. It was like four blocks away, and we walked there and took a bunch of pictures because they had everything set up in plexiglass, and they had just started the auction. So, you know, we were looking at AFA-graded Defiant play sets and Flag and all this other stuff, and you started to hear what some of this stuff was selling for, and our heads just started spinning because we're like, holy crap. But again, it's all AFA-graded stuff, so the price immediately shoots up exponentially to hundreds to thousands of dollars for no reason other than the fact that it's in a fucking acrylic case.
Pretty much.
Which still annoys me to this day. I just, something about, you know, that graded stuff just makes me want to shoot things with a gun. Literally, I'm just going to be like, son of a... I don't know. Although, if you're planning on going to the evening with Kevin Smith, don't worry about it because it's all sold out. I just clicked on there to look, and it's all gone.
I think it was sold out like
weeks ago.
Because I remember when I first told you about it, it was already, at least the really elite package was sold out.
Yeah, no, they were gone real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, which doesn't surprise me. I mean, a lot of people don't like him. He's got, you know, 2 million plus followers on Twitter, but his evening with conversations are always fun to be a part of because the stories he tells are, he's a good storyteller for one. The man could talk anyone's ear off. So C2E2 is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then JoeCon looks like it's becoming, it's going to be a fun convention.
Yeah, should be fun. Larry Hama is going to be there.
Yeah.
So I've already got like people, I've got a list of people who are like, give me his autograph.
Oh my God.
They're giving me specific comics too. It's like, I want his comic, I want issue 28. It's like, oh my God, where am I supposed to get freaking...
Yeah.
But now I got to like hit the comic dealer, find a comic dealer there. Because I honestly don't remember one being there last year.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was one, I just didn't pay attention. But like, so now I got to get specific fucking comics.
Yeah.
And like, get those autographed. Like, no, this one's to Mike. This one's to Sean.
Are you, so they've revealed all the box sets for JoeCon, right?
Well, okay. The way it works is there's the box sets that kind of set the theme.
Right.
And then there's like a bunch of add-on stuff. There's usually like two add-on figure sets and then vehicles.
Right.
That stuff they don't announce until the con.
Oh, gotcha.
Although I may have heard some, may have spoken to some inside sources and had something confirmed.
No, I gotcha.
I can't go into specific details, but I think if you've listened to the show, I'm pretty sure I may have mentioned it once or twice, but
right.
Something I thought was going to be there apparently is going to be there.
Oh, cool.
So, and it's going to be very, very cool.
Well, kudos for you.
And I tend to buy very many of them and try to make my money on eBay.
Very many of them?
I think the vehicle especially is going to be something that people are more excited about than the box set.
I got you.
The box set's kind of like,
Yeah.
Well, I mean, because there's a 12-inch box set and a 3 3/4-inch box set. But 3 3/4-inch box set this year, I don't know. Didn't really hit it out of the park.
Yeah, but you're probably still going to buy one, aren't you? I mean, you still get one.
I get one, yeah.
So
yeah, I got one, and then I got a loose one to like part out and sell. And
yay.
You know what? This is one of those things. This is what people do: is they go to these things and they buy up a bunch of extra stuff.
Right.
They bring everyone that will stand to go with them.
Right.
Because there are limits on these things, and then they make their money back. They pay for the trip by selling the stuff online.
Correct.
And it's like, you know, this is one of those times. It's not like, you know, because you know, as a general rule, I'm against scalping. But for me, this is different because it's not like I'm running out to every Target in town and elbowing you in the face so that
right.
you can't get it. This is something that, you know, if you're not going anyway, you know, I mean, I'm putting it up for sale, and if you don't want to buy it, don't buy it.
And I'm
not keeping you from getting it.
No, and I don't think it's scalping. I mean, it's
there's
going to
be someone that's like, oh, you're selling something for profit. That's scalping.
You know, that there's such a fine line between that. People don't understand that, you know, that's how these online websites got started, as they would buy stuff, turn it around, and sell it for profit. That's how business works. But again, scalping is the thing where, you know, you've got somebody going in and emptying pegs off and then trying to charge an outrageous amount of money for something that just hit the shelves. That's scalping to me.
Part of it for me is that you're creating the rarity.
Correct.
You're making it so that it's harder to find.
Right.
Whereas with this stuff, you know, I mean, you know, the people that would be buying this on eBay, you know, we're never going to get it any other way anyway.
Right.
So,
and the only way you can get that is to, one, be a club member.
Yeah.
Or two, spend a ton of money and go to the convention and buy one.
Yeah.
Or three, just buy it on eBay for the same amount of money you were going to spend to be a club member anyway, probably.
Yeah, some of it goes for a lot more.
Well, I mean,
A lot of the vehicles from last year are about $100.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
I mean, you know, you're doing what you got to do to make that.
Yeah. Make back my costs.
Yeah. I mean, we did the same thing with some Comic-Con exclusives a few years ago, so
yeah,
you know, that's what Killen does at Killen Enterprises. When he goes to these things, he buys up a ton of extra product and brings it back to the store and sells it. It's
yeah.
like, to me, that's not scalping. To me, that's like, that's what convention exclusives are made for. They know that. People, we're not the only ones doing it. There's tons more people doing it. You know?
I know, but there's always going to be someone who's like, well, you're not giving me that thing for free. You're scalping.
There are, unfortunately. You know, there are people out there that are like, gimme, gimme, gimme. And you're like, no, 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 no.
Get off your ass and go to Indianapolis, son. Get your own.
Are you going to go to CoilCon?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes, I am. I don't know if the registration's gone up for that yet or not. But I am, like, ironically, it's one of these complicated things. There was something else going on with my girlfriend that weekend.
Right.
I was like, oh, of course. But ironically, that's going on in Indianapolis.
Ah.
And I talked to her, and she's going to let me slink off on Sunday and go to CoilCon.
I got you, because it's only Sunday, right?
Yeah, it's only Sunday. It's only one day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I am planning on also attending CoilCon.
Cool. You'll get to go hang out in Kokomo Toys, too.
Yeah. Oh, interestingly, see, we keep dancing around the Toy Man thing, but we'll get there. Toy Man. Well, let me, because I got it to address this. I have to sort of set it up.
Okay, go ahead.
But at Toy Man, I hung out with Mike Irizarry.
Yeah, you hung out with him a number of times with Toy Man now.
Well, this is the second time.
Yeah.
But because he lives down in St. Louis, and he's from What's on Joe Mind.
He's one of the hosts,
yeah. And he's kind of involved in CoilCon, and he knows all these people, because he was an indie guy. He was from Indianapolis.
Right.
And the reason I'm jumping ahead on this and explaining that is because you've been kind of on my case to call Kokomo Toys.
Right.
And ask about the one piece of the Defiant that has been eluding me, because apparently they put together a bunch of Defiants for some project.
Yes.
I actually asked him about that while I was there. And the first thing he said is, oh, don't bother calling him. If you're going to talk to him on Facebook. Don't. Calling him's not going to do any good. Second thing he said was, you know, I said, well, you know, Jason said that they were putting together these Defiants. He said, yeah, I actually, because I had talked to him about my problems with the Defiant, and he's hooked up in the Joe community.
Right.
He's like, I talked to them about that, and yeah, they were putting together these Defiants, and guess what's the one piece that they had the hell of a time getting a hold of to complete their Defiants?
That chair. Ugh.
That chair, for some reason, just is impossible to get.
Wow.
So they don't have any extras. I mean, they had a hard time getting the ones for theirs.
Wow.
It's like, and nobody seems to know what the deal is with it.
That sucks.
Yeah. It's just
so weird. You're just on the constant hunt now for it.
I'm just going to buy one. I'm just going to buy another Defiant. Yeah, I know. He thought that was funny, too. He's like, yeah, you're just going to buy one. I'm like, yeah, well, yeah, I am. Looks like.
No, Mike's a good guy.
He's a great guy,
Got to meet him for the first time, and got to talk to him for a little bit before we kind of everybody parted ways at the toy show. And
well, yeah, I didn't know that we were, because I mean, it's not like we came down together.
No, that's true. No, we...
I didn't know we were supposed to be sticking together.
Yeah, Dave drove by himself, and then Carrie and I had gone the night before to go see Kevin Pollak here in town, the great
very talented comedian.
Yes, very talented comedian. I had gotten free tickets actually from Mr. Pollak via Twitter. So that was fun. So we would see that. And by the time we got out of there, it was like 11:30 and we were like, eh. So we slept in. I think we left the house at like 8 o'clock or something like that.
Yeah.
To drive to St. Louis, to drive to Toy Man. So we got there a couple hours, you know, you'd been there for a few hours and we get there and walking around. But Mike's a really nice guy. He's very funny.
Yeah. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. Very funny. So it was a lot of fun, but, Toy Man was a very interesting show this year, this time for me, this time around. Normally when I go to Toy Man, I only take like 40 or 60 bucks. I don't take a lot of money.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't want to spend a ton of money. I want it more than anything. I want to look around, hang out. But this show was very, very interesting because Carrie took her own money and she actually ended up buying way more than I did. Way more than I did. Like, she bought two bags full of stuff.
She's been bitten by the bug lately. Like, something's going on with her.
She has. She has fallen in love. Of course, you know, Carrie and I are big Disney fans. We're big Disney collectors. But she has fallen in love with the Happy Meal toys. So anything Disney Happy Meal toys and all that. She loves baby versions of the characters. So she bought a bunch of, like, baby Bugs and baby Sylvester from Looney Tunes and, like, Disney babies. She's got like a little baby Goofy. It's a little squeak toy. And she bought a little Goofy puppet that was old from like the late 70s, early 80s. So she bought that. And she just finds all of this what she says is the cute stuff. And she immediately is drawn to it. And she'll just snatch it up and walk away with it. And I'm like, whoa. she has been bitten very hard. So hard, in fact, on the way home, she was like, no more antique stores or toy show. Like, well, I still got a toy show to go to, but she's like, no more antique stores or anything like that till after we get back from vacation in May. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay, you could try, but I don't think it's going to happen. one of the first things I saw when I walked in the door and found you and Mike was we were talking. I happened to look to my left and went, oh, hell no.
Oh, yeah. See, I thought this would be the centerpiece of the whole.
Well, I want to get to it here shortly.
Well, okay. No. Because, like, you know, like, I got there early and blah, 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 and I'm wandering around. And I'm waiting for you guys to I didn't know you were coming. I honestly thought you wouldn't be because of the concert. Because
of Calvin Pollock.
And I knew that Mike was going to be there at 10.
Right.
So I'm kind of killing time, waiting for Mike to show up. Wait, and then I get a text from you saying you're coming down.
Right.
And we met. I actually met one of our fans.
Yeah.
Who was selling a bunch of He-Man stuff. So I talked to him for a while, and he was out front, so I was hanging out and waiting for people to show up, and Mike finally showed up, and we were kind of wandering around a little bit, and then I got a call from you. Because we were up on there's this one kind of raised platform area.
It's like a stage.
Like a stage. We were up there, and we get the call from you, and you're on the other side of the thing.
Yeah.
So we walked over there, and their introductions were made, and blah, 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 and everybody said hi. And I think we're sitting there talking to Carrie, and all of a sudden I notice you're gone.
Oh, yeah. No, I was gone. I was
And phew. I'm looking around, and I kind of see where you're at, and I kind of looked at what you must have been looking at or whatever.
Yeah.
And at first I was like, it was one of those things like, what? Wait, is that? What is the? Boy. Uh-oh. And as I got closer, then I saw all the figures. I'm like, oh, dear.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell the nice people what happened?
This dealer that was there, I've never seen this dealer before. I've got his business card, but on his table, on top of this little plastic stand that he had every Filmation Ghostbusters figure, minus a couple of accessories, and the ghost buggy with its box, minus the plastic piece that actually forms the drop top on it, that because it's supposed to be folded up. So that was missing, but everything else was there. Everything else was complete. I about had a cow because I was like, oh, that's the first time in all these years that we've gone to shows that I have seen all of that in one place.
Yeah.
Period. Like, that's the first time I've seen the ghost buggy at a show. Never seen it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I think maybe we've seen like a figure in a bin all beat up and stuff once or twice.
Right.
But not like that.
Yeah. So I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. And I was like, how much? Because I'm like, how much? And he's like, well, I'm selling it all together. He's like, as a set, I'm asking $370. And I was like, oh.
Was it $370? I thought it was $350.
Maybe it was $350. I was off on the price a little bit, but I was just thinking. I called Carrie. I'm like, Carrie. She's like, what? And I'm like, let me spend $350. And she went, what?
Yeah.
And then she realized what it was. And she's like, oh. She's like, well.
No, she had no idea what it was. No, we had to explain the whole Ghostbusters thing.
As soon as we said Filmation Ghostbusters, she knew what it was.
Okay.
Because I've talked about that a lot. I know you have. Yeah, I've talked a lot about American.
And I'm sure you talked about it like I was telling Mike. Yeah, that's what she's going to have to listen to the whole ride
home. As I was crestfallen that, you know, of course, I don't have $350 just hanging out on me.
Dude, I didn't bring $350.
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And kind of a little bit of money for what was there. I mean, the ghost buggy usually goes for $170, $180. And then the figures are usually, I see them sell complete for like $30 or $40. So you start doing the math and it's about right. But I was just like, oh my God. I'm like, I can't believe that I'm standing here looking at this at a toy show. You know, I was just like, that's so amazing to see all of this stuff, to see it all together like that. I was just like, God damn it. I was like, if I had had the 300 some bucks, I would have dropped in a heartbeat.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We would have left. I'd have been like, here's my money.
Gone.
Thanks. Bye. I wouldn't have looked the rest of the toy show. I'd have been
boom,
like, I'm happy.
Lost.
Peace out. Oh my God, it was amazing.
Are you gonna tell the people listening about what you tried to do?
I'll be honest. I tried to barter the G.I. Joes I found it at auction about a month ago.
I don't think
ago.
It's worth as much, but I got these G.I. Joes
like,
at an auction.
I got these G.I. Joes that are all, you know, blah, blah, blah. I tried. It was worth a try.
I got these magic beans.
And the guy was like, no, it's what I deal in normally, Joes, and I have tons of them. I'm like, man, it's worth a try. It's like I was going to try to see if I can get the price down, like a couple $100 maybe.
Yeah.
Because then Carrie, I think, would have been more realistically willing to let me get the money out and do it, but $300 some was.
Well,
just
if you could have gotten it to two, I could have loaned you $100 right there.
Yeah, so that's all right.
Actually, I think I mentioned something about that, and she said, "You will never get that money back."
No, she said.
No, she said that to you because you were busy negotiating. We had an interesting conversation behind your back. I don't know how much you heard of it, but
I don't think I heard any of it.
So apparently, you might be in trouble when Castle Grayskull comes around.
No,
because somebody's supposed to be paying monthly installments on that.
Yeah, I got it.
And you're not.
I'll get it taken care of.
You're not. And so we were discussing what might be done with Castle Grayskull once it comes in. And you're just, let me put it this way, you're just lucky that she doesn't like a certain person, because I suggested, oh, give it to him.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, I hate him. I'm like, well, I was like, yeah, but that's the point.
No, she keeps saying, I'm going to end up paying for that iron. I'm like, no, I will have it taken care of.
All right.
It will be taken care of.
Apparently you're supposed to be making installments. You're not.
I know.
All right.
It's fine.
All right.
I'll have it all taken care of before it comes out in Christmas.
I just like that I'm always supposed to be the reckless one, but I get my bills paid. My toys are paid for.
That's true.
I have to fight fucking PayPal tooth and nail like something out of fucking Star Trek.
I don't know. The rest of the toy show for me, she for one, it was so hot in there this time. I don't know why.
It was. Well, I think it was raining and
they had the heater on and it was bad. It was
muggy.
Yeah, it was just like, ugh. And she didn't like the crowds. She was like, it's so crowded. She's like, I can't even dig at anything. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's usually that's why you just pick a spot and fight for it and
pretty much.
But she had bought a ton of stuff and then I still had yet to buy anything. I had found like a hot rod in a box for like $2 that she ended up buying because it was with her stuff. And I think I found a bagged complete Big Boss from Cops for like $1. So at that point I'd spent like $3 and I hadn't, that's all I had to show for it. I had looked a bunch of stuff. I had seen a bunch of stuff that I was like, maybe, I don't know. And she's like, are you like this every show? Are you so indecisive? And I'm like, pretty much. I'm like, you got to think I don't bring a ton of money, so I want to make sure that what I do buy is what I really want, and it's a good deal. Like, I don't want to just drop $40 the minute I walk on the door, and, you know.
I don't either, but, like, I seem to distinctly recall, it was the previous Kane County, when my wingman was like, oh, that's a good buy. Buy that right now.
No, but to be honest.
Oh, that's a good buy. Buy that right now.
I will drop money.
You spend my money pretty freely, Spunky.
No, to be honest, I will drop money immediately if I see something and I know better than anything, it's a good deal, and that's probably the best deal you're going to find at the show. And in your instance, it was. I was like, that's for what is there, that's a good deal. We walked around a lot, and then there was one guy that I kept going back to that had a bunch of Star Ears.
Yes, I remember that. I remember seeing those and thinking of you at the time.
Yeah, he had a bunch of Star Ears that were complete, and they worked. He had two of the little ones. He had a bag full of like extra stuff. He had a bunch. He's always got stuff, but he had the Star Ears, and I was like, "Cool, how much?" Because of course, half those guys don't have prices on their stuff. And he's like, $15 a piece." I'm like, "Ugh," I'm like, "Gosh damn it!" I'm like, "All right, I'll think about it." So I finally went back and I decided I was going to buy a Star Ear, and I was going to buy the two little nippers. They're like these little pullback guys. They have little claws on the front of them that you squeeze. I was like, "I'll buy those three." And I lay him down to get ready to pay him, and I look, and I hadn't noticed it before because it was underneath one of his shelves, like in the back, and I look and I see Power Lords, and I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. I'm like, what is that? And I look closer and it's a carded Shea Queen of Power, and I'm like, oh. So I'm like, how much for the Power Lords? And he's like $40, and I'm like, god damn it. So I put the one Star Ear back, and then I've got the two little nippers, and I'm like, I'll give you $40 for all three of these. And he looked at me for a minute, looked at them, and he's like, all right, deal. And I was like, awesome, because those little nippers were $10 a piece.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, that's a good. Carrie's like, she's like, wait, you just spent all your money on three things. I'm like, yeah. She's like, that doesn't make any sense. I'm like, no. These nippers on eBay sell for about $15 to $20 a piece. This Shea Queen of Power I've seen sell for as high as $100. So, yes, it was a good deal.
Yeah.
I came away smelling like roses.
Yeah, it was funny because after we kind of split up, Mike and I went to lunch. And at one point I got a text from you and it was like, oh, I spent $40. And I was making a joke, oh, big spender. And I told Mike, you know, the thing is with us that Jason's the cheap one. And he looked at me and said, well, with you around, he'd have to be.
Yes, exactly. I told Carrie that story too, and she said, that's pretty fitting.
Yeah.
I that kind of made me chuckle. I'm like, yeah, that's very true. I'm like, Dave will go to a toy show and have no problem dropping $400. And
nope. Well, King County, yeah. The toy man, no.
Yeah, like I usually go into King County with like $200, and still I'm like, that's a lot of money.
Why go to King County? Because I don't want to walk away. I don't want to see something that I really want and not get it. You know, and walk away and go, oh, I wish I'd gotten that.
Right.
wish I had brought that. I mean, you know, if I had brought more money to Toy Man, you might have fucking Filmation Ghostbusters figures.
That's true, yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, obviously that's not, but, you know, it's not as huge a deal to me as walking away from something that I would really want, but same time, it's like, you know, I know that's something that's a big deal to you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
It was a
very
good show.
My personal favorite moment, aside from, like, watching you beg... This yes. guy over the Ghostbusters is as I said, Mike's the host of What's on Joe Mind, and there was this one dealer. Usually there are these other guys. There's this one. Usually dealers set up in the same spots.
Right.
And there are these guys that are usually set up in this one spot, kind of at the top of the room.
Right.
And we see them at King County as well. And they usually have a lot of G.I. Joe. They usually have a lot of stuff. That's where you got your weird Castle of Lions.
Right.
I've gotten a lot of stuff from them over the years. And this was like the first time I think they weren't set up in that spot. They were there, but they weren't in that spot. But there was a different guy. And as Mike and I were going around, we were talking to the guy that was set up there. And, you know, it was kind of like we were introducing ourselves. And it was like, you know, I'm Dave Draper from Toy World Order. You know, Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles. Like, oh, that's nice. And like, this is Mike from What's on Joe Mind. He's like, oh, I've actually heard of that show. I was like, oh.
Like a knife through the heart.
It's like, oh, so sad.
But you know what, though? I mean, our show is such a niche thing. I mean, it's like...
Yeah.
What we talk about is not something that... Some people... There's a lot of people that don't want to listen to us talk about toys for an hour.
Well, yeah.
I mean, because that's all we do. We just talk about toys and some news. We're not covering a line or covering a series or covering this, you know? You know, What's on Joe Mind is specifically a G.I. Joe podcast. That's what those guys collect. That's what they do.
Yeah, and they do it really, really well.
Yeah, they do it really well. You know, like I said, ours is very niche. It's we collect a little bit of everything, and we, you know, get our jollies off.
Dude,
on...
calm down. It was just a funny little moment.
No, I know it was, yeah.
I don't have to get defensive.
No,
it was cute.
I'm not getting defensive. I thought it was pretty funny, too. I was like, oh, that hurts. Like, that's sad. Like, oh, well, what do you do?
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to buy something from your table now, Spunky.
Well, all he had was, like, trading cards, so.
No, he had some action figures, too.
Oh, did he?
But there weren't prices on them.
Oh, of course not.
So.
When are there prices on half the stuff there?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Also, our pal BG was there.
He wasn't at his table when I walked by.
Oh, well, he's a big fan of the site. He loves the toy foolery.
Which is sad, because it doesn't exist anymore.
I just love it. He's like, yeah, I check out your site from time to time. I really like the toy foolery. I'm like, oh, neat.
That's great. Too bad
yeah,
that...
Yeah, that's about a year and a half out of date.
Yeah. Too bad that's no longer. let's answer a fan question.
Okay.
This one's from Yoda Soup. He says, hey, fellas, I know you guys aren't really into video games all that much, but I'm sure that you must have some favorites. So what are your top five all-time favorite video games? And also, if I'm ever in Springfield area, I'll have to make sure I stop by Dave's lawn just to get chased off of it. Totally worth the $5.
Yep.
What a...
Yeah, I was thinking about this earlier. I would say the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game.
Yes.
From the late 80s.
Wonderful.
Side-scroller, that's one of my favorite arcade games.
Yes.
SimCity.
Yeah.
I love that game.
Which you're getting ready to take a trip down the rabbit hole here real soon.
I don't know. Apparently, like, you have to be online or something. There's some issues with that. Yeah, there's some blowback on that one.
Gotcha.
But I in the day, I loved SimCity. I love strategic planners.
Right.
Star Wars Galaxies. The
of
only
course.
MMO I've ever played, and
of course.
The only MMO I ever want to play.
Yep.
Huge fan of the Batman Arkham games.
Yeah, you have both?
I both.
You bought a PlayStation just for those games?
Yes, basically. I mean, and also, it was a. I bought a game console to play those games.
Right.
And I picked the PlayStation because you could do Blu-rays, too.
Right.
I knew I had another one, too, but I can't remember what it was now.
Hmm.
So,
so you're leaving it at four.
Well, I could count both Arkham games.
Well, technically, yeah.
So, Angry Birds.
Oh, Angry
I love
Birds.
Angry Birds.
Yeah. I'd have to say the arcade version of Dragon's Lair.
Ooh, good choice. Yeah, excellent choice.
Yep.
I sucked at it. That's why I wouldn't pick it. But.
Pole Position.
Another good choice. Classic.
I love Pole Position. It's a fun game. Even still to this day, it's a fun game. I agree with you on the Turtles. The Turtles, the arcade, is definitely great. Legend of Zelda. The first one, the Nintendo one, is still a lot of fun to even go back and play today. It's one of those games that first came out that people had no clue how to beat it for the longest time until, you know, pre-internet and Nintendo Power and all that stuff. And, you know, it's just a great game. And then my fifth one, I would probably have to say are, well, I'll just clump them all, but all of the Lego licensed games are awesome.
Those are good too, yeah.
I have all of them but Batman, Lego 2, and Lord of the Rings, I think. I'm missing those two. But I have bought all of the other Lego, all the Lego Star Wars, all the Lego Pirates, both Lego Harry Potters. They're so much fun. So much fun. I love those games. I sat there and played, you know, I could play those games for hours and hours on end.
Yeah.
Just trying to get all of the gold bricks and try to get everything. It's so much fun. I love those games so much. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Video games are good times. Let's hear what's going on with our old good buddy Ados Barón and this week's thoughts with Ados Barón.
Now, Mr. Sinclair, what seems to be the problem you are having?
Well, Doctor, I keep having these nightmares. Each night I'm woken up in a cold sweat because of toys. Toys! I haven't touched one since I was a child in short pants.
Perhaps it is some deep-rooted fear of growing up too fast?
I mean, growing up in the old days, we did have to get jobs at an early age to support our families during the hard times. Then again, I've gone through so many personalities, I can't keep track of anything.
Ah, I see. Multiple personalities. Could you tell me a little bit about your past?
Okay. Oh, it's all coming back to me now. I was once a white suburban kid living in the northeastern part of Philadelphia, and...
Boy, have I had a busy week. All planning for last Sunday's event, which I'll get to later. But in the moments I had not running around, I was able to come up with a few items of discussion for all this week. We all have our own collector's secrets, right? I mean, after so many years, we come up with our own system for hunting down those sought-after toys we so desire. Well, now that it's no longer a viable option for me, allow me to spill the beans on a secret that I've kept to myself for years. When I was younger, like everybody else, I would go out with my mother to help her run errands. And like most moms, these trips would include visits to the big drugstore chains like Rite Aid and CVS. As I mentioned last week, despite the store, I could get lost in any toy department, and these were no exception. And what I came to find as I got older was that these places were hotbeds for some of the harder-to-find toys. Eventually, Rite Aid became a part of my toy runs, to my surprise, because I found a litany of hard-to-obtain Star Wars toys. One year for Christmas, I got the first Darth Vader with removable helmet from the Power of the Force 2 line. At the time, he was near impossible to find, and when I asked, "Where did you find this?" my mom said, "Oh, I bought it at Rite Aid." I continued this trend until 2009, when Hasbro started to put a divider between classic characters and prequel or Clone Wars ones, which resulted in the latter now predominantly hanging from the pegs. Not only that, but the items in their toy department are so astronomically priced now. A typical 3 3/4-inch figure is going for about $13.99 there. I have noticed that I can occasionally come across some interesting finds at Walgreens. Just last week, I saw the Cobra Commander figure from, what was it, 2 years ago? I'm not a Joe collector, but if I only bought one, it would be him. In addition to that, if you're looking for Marvel movie figures, only the 3 3/4-inch ones, try there for some of the less common characters. I see Destroyer from Thor occasionally, which is one I wouldn't mind adding to my Thor toys, but I'm still hesitant to pay the high sticker price. If I told you I was an anime fan, you wouldn't be shocked, right? Of course not! The one problem I'm having as I get older is that there aren't as many new titles I can find myself getting into like I once did. A lot of that has to do with the fact that I would watch anything, no matter how bad it was, in addition to the fact that the anime community is predominantly made up of teens and the college crowd, which I outgrew a long time ago. I don't think I'll be going back to any anime cons, because at 28, That would be a little odd. My favorite titles, if you asked me, would be the boys' teen action shows of the 80s. They may be old, and the animation definitely doesn't hold up in most cases, but in these imperfections I find more heart and love than all of the new stuff that's out there that just feels cold to me, with a huge exception to One Piece. Of these oldies but goodies, hands down, my favorite is Fist of the North Star. Dragon Ball comes in at a close second. Most people are familiar with the streamlined dub from the movie that was released in the US in the 90s, so it's not hard to mention it and people not realize what it is. This was my introduction to the world of Fist of the North Star, like most, and I was hooked from the moment I saw it. After all, you show a 17-year-old boy a movie where characters' heads explode, body parts fly, with gallons upon gallons of arterial spray, how could you not love it? I knew of the series the movie came from, but at the time it was impossible to find the whole thing in its original Japanese language format. America only had the first 35 episodes released on DVD. But that all finally changed in 2009 when Discotech Media bought the license for everything from the original. The movie, the first series, and the immediate follow-up Hokuto no Ken 2. The only option I had back in 2002 were the Hong Kong bootlegs, which I snatched up right away. Sure, the subtitles were crap, but after watching so much anime, I could get by from piecing together what Japanese I picked up and combining it with the subtitles, which were off a little. At first glance, Fist of the North Star is a mindless post-apocalyptic fighting anime, but gradually as you watch it a couple of times, you find out that there's a lot more going for it. Kenshiro, the protagonist, is one of the most compassionate characters of the genre, shedding more tears for the ones he's fighting for than blood. Whereas most boys' fighting anime consists of the same formula of main character is strong, but aims to be the best, going through a myriad of power level increases, learns new fighting move, makes friends of his enemies, and continues the cycle ad nauseum for hundreds of episodes, with the conclusion to the series seemingly nowhere in sight. Ken's journey throughout the wastelands of a once green Earth has a purpose. In the first arc, he does seek revenge for his beloved Yuria by confronting his best friend, but at the end of that, it opens up a whole new narrative for the rest of the series, where, as the successor to Hokuto Shinken, the stars direct him to bring order to the opposing martial art faction of Nanto Seiken, the majority of its practitioners whom have gone rogue, put an end to the use of other Hokuto Shinken users as there can only be one, which consist of his adopted brothers, and finally unite the heavens by seeking out the final Nanto general who, well, I won't get ahead of myself. To the uninitiated, yes, this sounds very trite and stupid, but to all of the 80s kids and cartoon watchers out there, I highly recommend it because it's much better once you're on the inside looking out. As if it wasn't obvious already, yes, I have a number of figures and collectibles from the property. The newest batch would be the series of Reveltech figures, which started in 2008, but sadly the line is all but done. The sculpts were good, though not exactly screen or book accurate. They are smaller than previous figures from other companies, but the main selling feature is the Reveltech system, which consists of ratcheting plug and connector pieces to form the joints, allowing you to pose them almost however you please. And with all of the interchangeable hands and weapons, you can recreate practically any fighting stance the characters have displayed. They all come with figure stands, which can plug into their lower backs, enabling all the kicking and in-flight poses you can think of. I started posting some of them on my Facebook after having them for years, and expect more to come. Of final note, to those interested, Sven's appearance at the Flower Show was an unbridled success! Everyone at the convention center loved him. I can't even begin to tell you how many people asked me to get him to take photos with. Moms, dads, young and old alike all wanted a picture with dear Mr. Kingsley. After this many appearances, he's bugging me to make a Facebook page, so that's on its way. We were able to shoot plenty of video, so once I have the time to edit the footage, I will post it all for the world to see! Though it's still 2.5 months away, we are planning for the Philadelphia Comic-Con / Wizard World, also at the convention center. After running around with Sven on Sunday, compounded with turning the clocks ahead, I'm still wiped out, and I need to get some rest. So folks, from Baron HQ, I bid you adieu.
Oh my, that was an eye-opener!
Okay, Mr. Sinclair, was it? Here's what we're going to do. Can you stop talking like that? Your diagnostic chart clearly reads Atas Baron, and given the fact that your actual age is on the chart, you are not fooling anyone, sir.
I'm back to my old self again. Thank you, Doctor.
You're welcome. But I have done nothing. It was all you.
I feel like I can truly live again. I think I could sing! Look out, world! I'm back!
As if I was ever gone in the first place.
It's a weird boy, that Doss.
Yeah, he's a strange, strange lad.
It's a strange boy. But we love him.
Yes, we do.
He's our friend.
He is.
He's our good friend. Good old Doss. There you go, gang, with the end of this week's Thoughts with ADOS Butter. And that brings us to the end of this week's David Navall's Toys and Collectibles. Make sure you check out our sponsors, the Crazy Kings of Toys, www.crazykingsoftoys.com. Support them because that helps us out greatly. And tell them David Navall sent you. Make sure you check us out on Twitter. You can follow the show at David Navall. You can follow the site at Toy World Order. You can follow me at Puppet Navall. And then, like I always like to say, Dave will chase you off his lawn for $5 with a rake.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You got to pay Dave, though.
You got to pay.
Yeah. Dave don't run for free, damn it.
Nope.
Dave's got to get some money to run.
Yep.
That's how it rolls.
Otherwise, I'll just clip you with my car.
Ugh, ouch. I've been in the new car. It wouldn't feel good.
Yeah. Have you been in the new car?
Oh, I guess
you were in the comparable new car.
Yeah, comparable new car, not the awesome new car that you got.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good car. Good car. Good car. Dave got a good deal on it.
Yeah, I think so.
Good deal for a 2013 car.
Yeah, for a brand new car.
Yeah,
ain't
very good deal.
Ain't not bad.
Dave English good.
Yep.
Yay. There you go, gang. Hope you'll come back next week for an all-new episode of David Lost Toys and Collectibles. And as always, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
Toy bar's closed, peeps. Peace out.